Hi guys, Jenny here. Before we get going, we would just like to remind you of our usual disclaimer. We mean no offence or disrespect to anyone involved in these cases. This is all information we have found online and have condensed into this episode. This being said, let's get started.
Hi guys, and welcome back to part two of the murder of Rebecca Watts. Just a quick recap. Last week, we discussed how Becky went missing from her Bristol home. We followed the case through to the investigation of her brother, Nathan Matthews, and his girlfriend, Shauna Hoare. We finished last week's episode on a bit of a cliffhanger. So just the normal introductions. I am, of course, joined by the one, the only, the Amy Howard.
Good day.
And Georgia's made an appearance.
Hello.
Oh, that's howdy doody.
Well, because Jenny fucking stole it last time we tried to record.
No.
I was livid.
I think you'll find that was the Howard.
She was planning it all day.
Yeah,
she was.
This bitch. She was. Hang on, I'll say it again. Ready.
So, as usual, I am joined by the one, the only, the Amy Howard.
Good day.
And Georgia has popped in.
Howdy doody.
Hey.
There it is.
And if you want to buy a t-shirt with howdy doody on, you can, because we're never going to make them.
Oh, I'm so excited then.
Amy's like, print run. Okay, without too much further ado, that's doesn't make any sense. Okay, without further ado, let's get cracking on Becky Watts part two. On the 4th of March, Nathan Matthews was charged with the murder of Becky. Police hinted on what evidence they had found in Nathan's home. Nathan began to squirm under the pressure and later to confess to accidentally killing Becky in a pre-written statement through his solicitor. You can watch the footage of Nathan once he had actually been arrested. It was on the news. There is actually an ITV documentary. Now, I know in part one, I kept referring to it as a BBC documentary. It's actually on ITV, and a lot of it is just police footage. And in this footage, you can watch the whole of Nathan's, not confession, it is what the police have read out of what Nathan's confession is. His body language gave off a completely different vibe. Originally, he was relaxed, calm, and almost charming with his wit towards police interviewers. Now, once the police had the evidence against him, he broke down. He was a sobbing mess and would constantly have his head on the table, avoiding eye contact with officers. He couldn't even verbally read his own statement.
This confession was read out by police to Nathan for the sake of the recording needed for prosecution. Nathan did not even want to admit to himself that he had committed this crime. Nathan replied to the police, "Do I have to listen, or can I just put my fingers in my ears?" Throughout the whole statement, he was still curled up, head on the table, covering his ears with his hand, like a child being told off. But this was a bit more serious than the average telling off. What a fanny. Just fucking admit to what you're doing.
I'm pretty sure as well, in the interview tapes, he says that he doesn't want them talking about Shauna mentioning her name in front of him.
It's like a pre-conversation they've had then, isn't it?
Yeah.
But one goes down, don't dob the other one in.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
So with this being said, let's read Nathan's written statement.
I, Nathan Charles Matthews, accept I am responsible for the death of Rebecca Marie Watts.
On the 19th of February 2015, I attended Crown Hill, St. George, Bristol, with my girlfriend, Shauna Hoare.
In my car, I had a large bag with a stun gun, handcuffs, tape, and a mask.
I developed an idea to kidnap Rebecca and scare her. I believed that she was selfish and her behaviour towards my mother was a risk for her health.
A few minutes after arriving, Shauna went into the garden to smoke a cigarette. I went to my car, and got the bag and went upstairs to the landing before knocking on Becky's door.
She replied, "What or hello? I cannot be sure which order things happened, but I used the items to subdue Rebecca."
In the struggle, my mask slipped and she saw my face. This made me panic and I strangled Rebecca when she was partially in the bag.
That was Nathan's statement. And with that, Nathan had confessed. Now, the first thing to me that stands out as being utter bullshit is, why would you need a mask? Surely Becky would have been aware of who was in the house, right? Because they would have let themselves in. And when you're home alone, you would hear someone come in the house. And I don't know about you guys, but if someone came into my house, you kind of know the usual people that are coming in and out. Like, you would recognize Dan coming into the house, wouldn't you, Amy? Just from what he would do, familiar noises. So if someone had broken in and Becky was scared, surely she would have done something, tried to escape.
Yeah, she'd already be hiding.
Yeah, exactly. So why he needed a mask, I'm not sure. Surely she would know who it was in the house.
But they lived in different houses, didn't they?
They did live in different houses. And I saw a bit online where Shauna says that they got the key from underneath the recycling box. So it's obviously like a free flow house.
You kind of got that house, Amy.
Like, she may not have expected him to be there, if that makes sense.
I'd kind of disagree. Yeah, I mean, if it's her brother and that's his mum's house, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then he's going to be in and out if his mum lives there. Like, you've got that type of house, Amy. People come and go. You know, we can just come into your house and you're absolutely fine with it. And I don't think you've ever been alarmed. So I don't see why he would be trying to cover his face.
But then if you came into my house with a mask on, I wouldn't necessarily know it was you.
This is true.
Yeah, but can you conceal a potato in a bag?
Well.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's Mrs. Potato Head.
I recognise the shape of that edge.
I know that potato anywhere.
Yeah, but you would know Georgia because she'd just start wheezing.
I think that any imperfect crime, I think you just assume if you cover your face, no one's going to know. Like, in the olden days, you used to put like tights over their faces, didn't they? But you could still see who they were.
Or just like,
I used to love doing that as a child. Hilarious.
I think you still do that now. I've seen you do that as an adult. Like, I genuinely have seen that. I've seen you do that as an adult. But that thing, like, with supervillains or superheroes, they just have a little black mask. It's still blatantly obvious who it is. What is the point? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like a eye mask or a mask that just covers his face, like more of like a bandana tied around his face, or a Hulk mask. You don't know, could have been Iron Man. Take your picks. Also, I think that we should all put tights on our head and take a picture of it and put it on our Instagram.
I'm happy to do so, but I have a wonky septum, so enjoy that, internet. It looks horrific. I'm okay.
I never wear tights.
Do you not?
You don't wear tights. No. Have you got any pop socks?
What is my head?
Let's get back to this. Secondly, what I don't believe is that you would take all of that stuff to scare a 16-year-old girl. And not just a normal 16-year-old girl. She was really small. Like, she was very petite. Surely you would need that level of stuff to do her. Now, let me get back to the little list. Didn't he have some sort of like stun gun? Yeah, stun gun.
So where would you get a stun gun from? What's a stun gun?
It's like a little jolt of electricity at the end of like,
a little bit like thing. Yeah, like what the police have, a stun gun.
So how would you have got a hold of that?
I think probably. You can get anything on Amazon. And the handcuffs, I mean, you probably got them from Ann Summers.
So we've got a list here. So it's a stun gun, tape, handcuffs, and the mask. So this is practically a kill kit. That's what he's packed. He's packed a kill kit. These items are so dark and particular. You know, what do you think? Do you think he was planning to kill her? Or do you think this was all just an elaborate plan to scare Becky?
Yeah, so a stun gun completely kind of takes you off your feet, doesn't it?
I think it would just make you jump. It depends where you're hit with it.
If it's a stun gun like what police have, you'll go straight to the floor. What's the word?
It's continued jolt of electricity will make your muscles like spasm and seize up, I think. Yeah. And they like contort, so they make you like your fists clenched and that, I think.
Yeah. And the tape and handcuffs is to restrain her, isn't it?
Obviously,
and the mask is just...
Okay.
That's so not just, I'm going to scare the shit out of my sister.
No, it's not. A stun gun is an electrical self-defense device that uses high voltage to stop the attacker. Touching a person with the prongs of the device can quickly immobilize the attacker. So I guess the electricity is quite low. No serious or permanent injury can be inflicted. A stun gun is designed to key into the nervous system. So I guess it's just going to make you have a little bit.
Seize up. Seize up and make sure your muscles spasm so they seize.
Yeah.
It incapacitates you, I believe, if that's the right word.
Do you reckon this could be deemed an accident? If he
not in the slightest. 100%. Amy's just shaking her head.
Sorry, I was just thinking. I don't know. They definitely had bad intentions, didn't they? But maybe just go as far.
I reckon they might have tried to do that thing where they might have said she was kidnapped to try and get money. As a, you know, potentially, like, you know, what was that girl? There's a case, and she, it turns out she was under, is it her nan's bed or her mum's bed?
I can't think of her name now, but it was up north, wasn't it?
Yorkshire. Yeah, she was hidden under her mum's bed to get money.
I don't think the family had money.
No, but it could have raised money, like find Becky Watts, you know.
I don't know.
GoFundMe page or whatever.
We will get into a little bit more of what the potential motive may have been, and if they hadn't planned to kill her, what the reasons may be of them doing this. So we'll get into that a little bit later on.
When the family was informed of Nathan's confession, his own mother was reported on saying she thought he'd done it and he'd done it on purpose.
Okay, so let's go through what really happened. Nathan had entered the family home and continued to Becky's bedroom with his bag of items to assist him to kidnap Becky. At this point, Shauna was outside in the back garden having a cigarette. When the kidnapper Becky...
Facts on the mind.
Yeah.
I'm funny.
I love it when Howard gets the giggles.
She's crying. Oh,
okay. I just like relax my cheek muscles.
Okay. When the kidnap of Becky went wrong due to the big struggle, Nathan then
Right, you stole my backy.
Just don't look at the screen, Amy, just look at your paper.
Okay. When the kidnap of Becky went wrong due to big struggle, Nathan. When the kidnap of Becky went wrong due to the big struggle, Nathan then suffocated Becky in panic, like he had stated in his statement to police. Nathan then went on to admit that he had taken Becky back to his and Shauna's home. At this point in the investigation, Shauna is claiming she has no idea of events happening around her.
He dumped Becky's lifeless body in the bath and proceeded with their evening, ordering a takeaway and playing Monopoly.
What is wrong with him?
It's just cold, isn't it? The following day, Nathan visited the DIY shop where he bought the items that were on the receipt. Nathan came back to the couple's home and proceeded to dismember Becky's body in the bathtub. I'm sure for Nathan, dismembering a body was not common practice. Just imagine the time it would have taken and the gore that it would have created. Now, I'm not trying to go into too much detail, but circular saws are not created for dismembering a body. I wonder if the staff member in the hardware store ever gets suspicious of why the customer's purchasing one. And another point is, you know, the bathtub was completely clean. Mm-hmm. Surely, if you're dismembering a body in a bathroom, that blood is not just going to be on the bath. If they had all of clutter, because if you guys look on our Instagram, there is literally like the bath, and then directly opposite the bath is just clutter. So surely there would be some of Becky's DNA like sprayed or blood sprayed.
Oh, definitely. There'd be blood splatter all over the place, especially when you watch these forensic files and stuff. The blood gets fucking everywhere, like just a mist of it. And like it can be in your ears, up your nose, in your eyebrows, like such a fine mist. And they've got such good like microscopes these days. They can find it on anything, even if it's not visible to the naked eye.
Could he have potentially put a shower curtain around him? Was there a shower curtain in that picture? I don't think there was. So there's a plastic one hanging down and then put it around him, then it wouldn't go. Because the toilet is literally right next to the bath. and then there's this, all that like clutter.
Yeah, but it
wasn't originally in there, and they put it in there.
But circulosaurs are so fast as well.
It would have sprayed it.
It would have still gone everywhere. There's no avoiding it.
Do you ever think that when you go into B&Q and stuff, or even when you go into like supermarkets, why are they buying that? Do you know what I mean?
In a trade center, don't I?
Yeah.
So yeah, would you ever sell tools and think?
Yeah, we sell tools and everything. Yeah, I mean, we do sell some stuff that could definitely be used for murder and dismemberment. Murder.
But has anyone come in and bought like, what's that, cling film stuff? Because you can buy that in DIY stores, can't you?
Oh, like dust sheets and that?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, you could buy all of that where I work. But yeah, things, no one, and yeah, exactly, you can buy fucking tons of that where I work, but no one would be none the wiser. You'd just be like, oh, he's just doing some DIY, he's just doing some home improvements. And you just wouldn't question it.
Unless someone that, I don't know, if they came in, they had like big bags under their eyes, they looked like shifty.
And that's what all my customers look like.
I just said that and I was like, yeah, that's pretty normal of a Monday morning.
But then have you ever bought a really odd array of things at the supermarket?
Yeah, I mean, I buy prawns and milk
and a magazine, and they must think something, like, what is she doing tonight?
What is, I bought a funny arrangement of things the other day, and it was, I can't remember what it was now. Really pointless.
Yeah, that was a good story.
Nathan then wrapped Becky's body parts in plastic and packed them into assorted bags and boxes with salt and cat litter. Lovely. Nathan did have knowledge of what he was doing. This cat litter was used to disguise any smells. When I first read that, I was like, a bit fucking weird, but then you think about it, and you're like, actually, that's quite smart.
It absorbs moisture, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I can still smell cat piss from it in a cat litter tray, but yeah, it is quite smart.
Also, a lot of people would probably have that around the house as well, wouldn't they?
Yes, yeah, it's not really suspicious. But on the other hand, I'm sure these bags and boxes would have been really heavy, not making them easy to dispose of without raising suspicion.
Because, like, isn't cat litter, wouldn't that not be, like, sand? Like, filling a box with a sand?
It is.
That's heavy. It's heavy because it's, like, dense, yeah. But, like, is this really what you do with the body of someone you'd accidentally killed? This isn't what you do. It's not what you do. You'd be like... No. I reckon if you'd accidentally killed someone, I think I would call the police on myself. If it was an accident, I'd be like, this happened. You don't fucking then go and get a circular saw and everything like that.
Or even the case if it's kind of accidentally killed and you're too scared to get in trouble, I suppose more people tend to dump bodies, don't they? Dump someone, let someone find them. But this is taking extra precaution to dispose of it where, well... they're clearly thinking where no one would ever look, and you know, with cutting her up, wrapping her, putting her in cat litter, putting her in different bags and boxes, like there's planning.
Yeah, a lot of planning, but also trying to make the identification harder as well. I feel like that's part of their plan to make it harder to identify the body.
And it's really easy just to talk about this, not being like really blasé, just think it's a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, it's so fucked.
It's fucked up, yeah.
I think they wanted to get away with it, and they knew they would get away with it. Obviously, they didn't. But by doing this, they thought they had the upper hand. Like, yeah, no one can touch us. I've done this. It's maybe because it's not a normal thing to do. They then thought no one would do it, so they wouldn't get caught for doing it.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
People wouldn't be looking for boxes. They'd be looking for her in a forest.
But then it's not actually as uncommon as you think. I was watching... a program the other day, and it was a very similar thing, a woman that was dismembered and hidden in a suitcase and dumped somewhere.
He also told police he had managed to bribe some friends to hide these bags and boxes in their shed not far from the couple's home. Carl Demetrius and Jadeen Parsons lived round the corner from Nathan and Shauna. Nathan had told these friends he needed some bags hidden, and in return he would give them a large sum of money.
These friends didn't ask too many questions as they needed the money and assumed that these parcels were drugs. In the court case against Carl and Jadeen, and also two other friends of Nathan and Shauna, text messages between Carl and Jadeen were read out loud. Now I'm going to do the part of Jadeen and Amy is going to read the part of Carl. So Jadeen, all done? Kiss, kiss, kiss?
Not yet, babe.
Ah, okay. You're going to hide it for him, because we could do with the money, LOL. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
She later sent another message in reference to the fact Matthews had promised to pay over £10,000, saying,
cool, That's a deposit on a house. LOL, kiss, kiss, kiss.
So what do you think?
I think they thought it was drugs.
I'm not being funny, because I'm so massively cheap, as you are both well aware.
Don't admit that you'd do, like, a crime on a...
No, I'm not saying I'd do a crime, but just that I don't think I'd question it.
No.
I'm not saying I'd do a crime, but... Can you look after this for me, and I'll give you some money? Obviously, yeah, I would be piqued, but my first question would be, how much?
That's like when you go in Georgia, can you have this box, this suitcase and this bag, and it's a cot, some baby toys, and a microwave? Do you know what I mean? Like, you just... It could be nothing.
If it's, like, someone you know, but at the same time, his sister is missing, and it's extremely public. Or maybe they were just so hard up that they just thought, not going to ask. So in the shed on a small estate in Bristol, police discovered the dismembered remains of Becky, which had been left there for 12 days since she went missing. The post-mortem revealed that Becky had died of strangulation.
Becky's body was covered in stab wounds that had been inflicted after her death. Now, even though Nathan had confessed to the police, they couldn't take Nathan's story as the truth. He was clearly downgrading the extent of the violence, and Becky's death definitely wasn't a prank gone wrong. This was premeditated murder.
And on top of all of this, Nathan was completely leaving Shauna out of having any involvement or knowledge about what he had done. This is so stupidly unlikely. How could Shauna have not been aware of what had been happening in her own house? She would have noticed something. Going back, we had the struggle, the moving of the body, the dismembering of the body, and the disposing of the body. How would you not notice this?
They continued with their evening after she was killed and she was dumped in the bath. At some point, you're going to need to go into your bathroom.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's possibly ridiculous.
It was just a mad, intense game of Monopoly, and they just passed out. That game can go on for hours.
Did they have DIY done in the bathroom? Would you not be like, what are you doing? That's like, just saw in my bathroom. You put a curtain rail up or something.
Oh, I'm just making a jacuzzi, babe.
Yeah, just cutting up some of this scrap that I've been keeping in here for 6 months. In another interview room, when Shauna was told what Nathan had confessed to, she just nods. Through following interviews, Shauna maintains that she knew nothing and had no involvement. When police asked her how she could possibly prove that she had no involvement, she replied, "There's no proof. I didn't touch anything." Now, this to me is clearly an admission of guilt, is it not?
I agree. If you're immediately on the defensive, you're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, past experience, the second you start defending or get defensive, it's because you know you're wrong.
Fingerprints would have been over everything because she lives there.
There's a reason why you're thinking about not touching something.
Police knew that Shauna had been constantly lying in all of her interviews. And even though Nathan had confessed, his confession was still littered with lies. In an interview conducted on Nathan after his confession, Nathan began to answer no comment while sobbing and crying with his head in his hands. After the maximum time allowed to hold and question the pair, police charged Nathan with murder, and because they had no hard evidence against Shauna, she was charged with perverting the course of justice.
The police could not let her go. They needed to hold her on remand while they found the evidence they needed to also charge Shauna with Becky's murder.
While the couple were being held, police searched through the couple's phones and were able to recover multiple deleted texts from Shauna's phone. These were exchanged between the couple. And with this discovery, the truth and motive to Becky's attack and murder was revealed.
The couple's phone records and internet searches told police the story of the couple's deep, dark fetish. Porn searches of videos showing borderline legal girls having forced sex with older men.
And as for the text messages, these showed how the pair had a shared fantasy of kidnapping a young, pretty, petite teenage girl from school and keeping her in their loft as a sex slave. Normal behaviour, probably. Or not. Police discovered in December 2015, a couple of months before Becky's death, Nathan had sent a text message to Shauna saying,
"Bring me back two pretty schoolgirls then."
Of which Shauna replied,
"Lol, yeah, I'll just kidnap them from school." With this new evidence, the police now had a clear reason and motive for Shauna to have been involved, and they considered Becky's attack was sexually motivated.
Police confronted Shauna with these texts. They questioned her about them. Shauna begins to reply, "No comment," rumbled. But this was no issue to police. Forensic teams had uncovered some DNA evidence linking Shauna to the murder and the dismemberment. This was found on a face mask and on a box and bag that were holding Becky's remains. So clearly, she hadn't been as careful as she thought. And with this, police were now able to charge both Shauna and Nathan with Becky's murder.
A round of applause, please.
The trial began in Bristol Crown Court in October 2015. Was that 3 years ago? 3 years ago? 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's when Noah was born, Amy.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Your son was born in October 2015.
Oh, my God. I thought October rang a bell. October 2015. I was pushing out a baby. And during this, the couple gave off very different characters. Nathan was hunched, but Shauna stood tall and was calm and confident. I think she knew that she was going to get a fuck all compared to him.
Well, yeah, but I still think she deserves to be locked up for life.
Now, they both got a lot of grief in prison. Now, I know he has been attacked. So I know he's been attacked a lot of times. Once with molten butter.
Molten butter?
Is that a word?
Do you mean molten?
Molten.
Yeah.
And she's, I think she's been knocked around a few times.
Well, as I think it's deserved, to be fair.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did a pre-trial. It was definitely before October because I was still at work and my office at the time was really, really close to Bristol Crown Court. And on one of our lunch breaks, someone heard that they were being brought in. So I'm really sure it wasn't October. It must have been like, it wasn't the sentence and it was something before then and they brought them in. The whited out vans, and we went round and like watched them get brought in and everyone shouting at the vans and stuff.
Nathan was found guilty of Becky's murder and was sentenced to life with a minimum of 33 years. Shauna was convicted of manslaughter and was sentenced to 17 years. Not enough, in my opinion.
Big difference, isn't it?
But she was in on it. I mean, that shows that like they're both equally as guilty to me, like, because she was clearly aware of what was going on and she didn't stop him.
This is also the evidence they would have bring for a jury to decide if they're guilty or not. So maybe they manslaughter is what they could confidently get her done for, basically.
Yeah, convicted of.
I guess so.
So as well as obviously Shauna and I've forgotten his name.
Nathan.
So as well as Shauna and Nathan obviously being as well as Nathan and Shauna being convicted, Carl Demetrius, Jadeen Parsons, Donovan Demetrius and James Ireland also sentenced between 16 months and 2 years for an assisting an offender.
They needed to get something. You can't get off scot-free for putting someone's body in your shed.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, I don't feel that they're as guilty. So I feel like that sentencing, like I said earlier, I think they might have...
The main issue was the fact that she wasn't found for 12 days and they held that for 12 days without any
You'd
just go and have a look, wouldn't you? There's no way that you wouldn't at least go and have a look.
I'm nosy anyway, so if I'm around someone's house, I'm sorry. I will have a quick peek around your room.
You know that Nathan and Shauna have been pulled in for questioning. A little bit of you would think, do I tell someone about it? And we may never know. One of them might have gone in there and zipped the corner of that and gone, shit, I know what that is, but I don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
So.
Get rid of it, get my money, and then.
Yeah.
They probably didn't touch it. I haven't touched it. Not my problem.
I ain't done it. It wasn't even me.
We did nothing or nothing.
Ain't talking summit or nothing.
And this is where the horrific tale comes to its end. Now, what really does stand out to me is that the family has still remained quite strong. Darren and Angie still live together. They're still married. They haven't let what Nathan and Shauna have done tear their relationship apart. They still live in the same house that Becky was actually murdered in, which, take it as it is, I don't know if I would particularly want to stay in a house that my daughter was murdered in, but maybe they have an attachment there to Becky.
It shows strength.
It does show strength to me. So I think that was like a nice little thing that I found out, that they are still together. Darren, Becky's dad, has actually written a book all about Becky. So if you are interested on Darren's take on Becky's life and what happened to her, then, you know, do go and give that a listen or a read. And just to chip in, I haven't actually researched this, I'll be 100% honest, but I was talking to my auntie about this, because shout out to Auntie Barb, she listened to part one.
What's up, Barb?
Apparently, Shauna was pregnant and she gave birth in prison.
What?
That is just from Auntie Barb news, so I don't know if it is true or not.
A new segment each week.
Listen to an interview with Darren, and he's saying how clearly Nathan, what I've seen and read about, is he's always had a bit of an obsession with younger girls. He would always go and pick up younger girls in his car, and apparently he brought Shauna around to Darren and Andrew's house, and she got out of the car. Darren and Andrew were like, put her back in your car, take her home, because she, you know, she is not old enough to be hanging around with you. And do like, oh, she's allowed in the house. She's allowed in the house once she can prove that she is actually 16. So I think Nathan told his parents that she was 16. They're like, no way, no way. And a couple of years later, he brought her back round and she proved that she was 16. But she was,
well,
16
that just goes
then.
To show that he's clearly a bit of a pedo.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? That should have been an alarm bell straight away.
It all links up quite comfortably, doesn't it, with with the sexual motive behind things. So maybe it was very much that this was Nathan's fetish, and him being in a couple with Shauna, she sort of was pulled into it by Nathan, and it became her fetish as well. But it's quite interesting stuff, you know.
Maybe
they didn't mean to kill her. Maybe they were very much like, this is our chance to live out our deepest, darkest fantasies. Or maybe they plan to take her home and do this stuff to her and then kill her, and it was actually an accident that he killed her at that point. Like, he was planning to kill her, but he wasn't planning to kill her so soon. Does that make sense?
Well, that would explain the stun gun, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Subdue her, put her in your car, take her home, sex slave, and then kill her.
Yeah.
Thanks again for listening. Usual stuff before you unplug. If you think that we've made any mistakes. If we have made any mistakes in our account of this case, or you want to add anything, then please email us at girlstalkcrime@gmail.com. Follow us on the usuals, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at girlstalkcrime. If you have enjoyed this week's episode, please do leave us a review, share us with all of your friends, and tune in for next week. What did I do wrong?
You said, yes, share oil. With oil of your friends. Just like a bit of grease. And if you have enjoyed this week's episode, then please do leave us a review, subscribe, and share us with your friends.
So thanks for tuning in, guys. Next week, we're going to change it up a bit. We're going to do two short stories.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye. Bye.